For many health officials, it's been clear for some time that the anthrax spores found on Capitol Hill were indeed more potent than those in Florida or New York. NPR's Richard Knox has been talking with bioterrorism experts today at a seminar at Harvard University, and he joins us from there. Richard, from a scientific point of view, what makes it so clear that these spores are more dangerous than any others?
Well, first of all, there's what scientists like to call empirical evidence. It really has nothing to do with the spores themselves, but on the fact that as the circle of cases has expanded and expanded from apparently that point source in Senator Daschle's office, it's become increasingly clear that this was a different phenomenon. It was a different kind of material that was causing a wider exposure and a wider case, wider capability of causing illness than the earlier ones in Florida and New York. Beyond that, the evidence which Governor Ridge confirmed today is that this has been processed in a form that makes it float in the air. Matt Meselson, who's a Harvard professor who investigated the 1979 accidental release in Sverdlovsk, Russia, points out that when you have a 1 or 2 micron particle of, as these spores are when they're separate like this, they can float in the air for hours and they can be inhaled deeply. And that's apparently how this has been processed.
And what kind of processing would that be? What would it take to do that?
We're still learning about that. I mean, we out in the public, there are experts who know quite a lot about that because they've been investigating it for many years. Basically involves freeze-drying the organism without killing it. It involves subjecting it to coating, possibly, that will minimize the electrostatic charge. You know, these are, it's like when your hair stands on end in the winter when the air is dry. That's electrostatic charges that cause that. And the these charges cause these little spores to clump together normally, so they have to be treated and coated, perhaps, in a way that makes them separate and repel each other rather than attract each other. And so there are technologies that are known to exist to do that, but they're not easy to come by.
Yeah, the speculation here that this could be a government lab of some kind, some countries are being talked about. What's behind those statements? What does that really mean?
Well, what is known is that in this country, in Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, in Iraq, there have been well-developed and long-standing programs to weaponize anthrax. In this country, a fellow named Bill Patrick, who used to work at Fort Detrick, holds 5 classified patents for freeze-drying and processing anthrax spores. It's known that a fellow who was speaking this afternoon, David France, has been in Iraq and has examined their capabilities as far as he could, and they had have very large facilities to do this kind of thing. But, you know, I think it's a mistake to assume that it has to be a foreign country. Meselson again points out that the technology to do this is used every day to make an insecticide called BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, which is a cousin of anthrax. And it's harmless to humans. It's an effective insecticide. And the machines to process exist. Maybe somebody could have got hold of one of those. Or it's not likely to be a university lab, because university labs don't do this. This points to somebody who really knew a lot about the technology, and it's very specialized and dark, as it's called, to do this.
Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
NPR's Richard Knox talking with us from Boston.